All right, second half kickoff here for the morning show, presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. David Johnston, Sam Franco along with you. Of course, we're joined by former Georgia head coach and College Football Hall of Famer, Jim Donnan. Coach D, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm glad to be out here. I needed to see an eye dog to get out of here during this, through this fog. But I'm just telling you, man, tremendous time to be a Georgia Bulldog. Just don't take this for granted. This is an unbelievable time of the year, you know, playoff-wise and everything. And we're really stealing this year. I mean, everything's ahead of us. I hope that we can find a way to beat Alabama and run it out. But, you know, when you look at our team and the youth on the team and the development of these younger players throughout this season and the guys we got coming in here, recruited, and the ones that are trying to come, but we don't have enough room for them. I mean, we need to get some of those Tom Osborne scholarships where some local bankers just put these guys on internships.
What are you saying, Coach?
Hey, seriously, Tom didn't break any rules, but back in the old days when we were playing them, they would say, let's just say Sam's a offensive back from Lincoln, Nebraska, and he comes out on TV and said, you know, these walk-ons have worked really hard, and I'm going into my fifth year, and I'm going to give up my scholarship so this guy can have a scholarship, and I'm just going to be an intern at Lincoln National Bank.
That's how you do it. That's how you get around everything.
Intern.
Yeah, he was an intern, and the kids, you know, they had their scout teams back then. They had over 70 guys on offense and defense. They had 140 guys on the scout team, so they ran two different stations, and in spite of that, we still beat them.
Coach Donnan here with us as we get ready for UMass, and we certainly will, you know, we'll talk some about that, but we got to talk about this game Saturday night. What a big win it was for them. A couple of self-inflicted wounds. That score could have been a lot worse, Coach.
Yeah, you look at the last 2 weeks, and both games could have been really high-scoring games from our standpoint. We gave up some opportunities against Kentucky, which we talked about with a couple snaps and miss handoffs.
Yeah.
And then last week, you know, just inadvertent interception down there, and then the end of the game deal, and only scored 7 points in the second half. But really, when you look at the time of possession, which I don't get too caught up in that. But at the same time, we kept them off the field, and they were the worse they got behind, the less chance they were even trying to run the ball. And we made them one-dimensional, and that's two games in a row that our run defense probably profited a little bit from the fact it didn't have to play as many plays when the game was on the line, and that really was good coaching by Kirby the way we kept the ball away from them, and we're going to see. Not necessarily this week, but next week, you got to get Tech off the field, and you know we're going to have to score. I don't know if that means keeping the ball away from them, because last year the MO was just score, you know, and put the heat on them. But we'll talk about Tech next week. That's something that
It's interesting. I heard Bill Polian say one time, he's like, "Yeah, I mean, people get caught up in time of possession, but look at number of plays run also, and then." But the time of possession in this game was basically, let's see, what was it? It was like 38-22 and number of plays, though, was, what, 69-57. They just couldn't get Georgia off the field on third down. I mean,
yeah,
Georgia converted 8 out of 14.
We've been that was our nemesis early in the year, but right now we're hitting some really good plays on third down, doing a good job getting the ball to Swift out of the backfield also. That fourth down, I thought
the pass to Godwin.
I thought
that's what I was
really,
gonna ask you.
Really
yeah.
Great clock management there, and you were hoping it might maybe call timeout a little earlier, give you more time. But you're looking at it, hey, if you don't make it, that gives them more time. So it was a good job by us, and it's a formation that really puts a lot of pressure on the defense when you got. We got a guy like Terry in the slot one side, and then on the other side you got Cook, who we haven't seen a lot, but I've seen him a few times I've watched practice. He's an explosive player that, you know, all of a sudden you got a jack or strong safety or outside backer on him, And you just get a mismatch. And very similar play, but to the opposite side of the one that Eason hit to Isaiah against Missouri at the end of the game when we beat them out there a few years ago,
yeah.
Where you got one-on-one
right.
with the safety and kind of an option route. But
so what is Fromm looking at when they're lined up like that?
Well, the first thing you do is just get a pre-snap read, estimate the defensive intent. That's what you always say. What can they do from how they line up? And they had a one high safety look, which means they're some kind of man or man-free safety. And then they had a little bit of, you know, pressure coming up the gut, and we picked it up. Our protection against that team was unbelievable, and our run blocking was unbelievable, you know, from the standpoint of how good their front is. You just can't really put it in perspective how big these guys are and how physical they've been against everybody, but we really knocked them around, and I think we broke their will a little bit too. You
yeah.
know, you play on defense and you see your offense keep not doing anything, it's hard to say what's going to happen, but I think in that case, it was a really good call by Coach Chaney, and Jake did a good job of delivering the ball on time. And Terry Godwin is just an explosive player. You know, it'd be nice to see him get the ball more, but it's hard every time you throw it to him. That's one less carry for Swift and Holyfield. So it's just a buffet of different things you got out there. You got a lot of ways to attack people. And, you know, our offensive line continues to be plagued by injuries, and hopefully this week we can get some of them well and get ready for Tech. But just a masterful job by Pittman. Coach Pittman's done a really good job of developing depth and at the same time mixing and matching these guys in the lineup. So hopefully Ben Cleveland can get back this week and maybe we can sit Mays and let his shoulder get well. You know, it's tough enough when you're an offensive lineman, but when you use your arms and your shoulders as much as you do in blocking and you've got some kind of shoulder injury, it's tough to be an offensive lineman.
Coach Donna with us here on the morning show. Coach, I wanted to ask you about the field goal fake towards the latter part of the game, just because it's been a point of contention. There have been some in the media that have kind of questioned why you would do that. And especially giving away a play like that when you didn't really need to. I was totally fine with it. I get the bad blood between the two sides, but what were your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, as far as giving away something, usually those fakes are based on what that team does. And if you look at that from the end zone shot, they were selling out. They were bringing everybody in. And everybody that you play has different kinds of blocks. And it's all determined on the point in the game. And so if you've got to sell out to block a punt or a field goal, you're probably thinking the team's not going to fake it based on that. So sometimes you feel like you got a better chance of hitting a fake than you do getting a kick off, you know, because if they block the kick, they can take it to the house and everything. If you don't hit the fake and they still got to go the long distance, and the 3 points really don't help you that much compared to, you know, as far as the number of points they got to score. So,
I was even saying that before. I was like, there's no difference between 17 and 20.
Dave said that to me when it looked like they were going to kick a field goal with Rodrigo there, you know, and it's like, well, it doesn't matter. Because
at this point in the game, they're going for touchdowns.
They ran a screen pass on us with like 2 minutes to go last year for a long
that scored the touchdown. Yeah, exactly.
So, hey, you know, I thought – at the game, Gus said, hey, they coach their team, we coach ours. But, you know, afterwards, hey, there's always going to be, no matter what, when you do stuff like that. You know, hey, Spurrier threw a double pass on us in the game. They were kicking us badly. But the next year, we got back on them. We ran a Landis Gary in there and scored right at the end of the game. So it'll always come back one way or the other. But it was a good fake. I mean, it was there. I mean, Rodrigo, I've seen him in practice. He looks like Brett Favre out there sometime, but he looked like, Ned the First Reader the way he threw that one.
Are most college coaches petty like that? You remember those things and you want to pay them back?
I don't think you get into a payback, you know, like going into the game. But once you got the game in hand, sometimes you got a good memory and you do stuff like that. I think – this thing's overblown a little bit because of the rivalry, but the fake was there. Can you imagine what everybody done if Rod would have hit a touchdown?
Oh, my gosh, that's what I was saying. The roof would have come off, and there's no roof, but you know what I mean.
It's one of those things that, you know, I know we played down at at Mississippi State, and Dax Langley was our punter, and he's a good athlete. And I hope Dax is listening because I'm going to give him credit. He was a good athlete and a good kicker.
He was a good athlete.
Good golfer. He could punt. He could place kick. And they ran a punt block that no matter how you blocked it, there's always one guy free. And we just told our players the first time we punt, I don't care where it is, we're going to fake the punt. And we were going to let Hines Ward, being up back, and just slip over the middle. And he took the snap back there and took one step and just arched it up. And Hines ran about 70 yards. And we were on about the 15-yard line. But the point is, sometimes you got a better chance on the fake than you do the actual execution. So it's such a minimal thing in a game like this, but they got to have something to talk about. But there wasn't any problem about the fact that we dominated that game. We played some Auburn games that have gone down to the wire, like the last time we played here, some of those games over there. But it's something like they've only won like two out of the last, what?
Three out of 14.
And just phenomenal, regardless who the defensive coach has been here. The last five times that they've been in our stadium, only scored one touchdown in the first half and nothing after that. So just very good job by Coach Tucker. The other thing that I thought was kind of funky in that game, they run tempo, and the way the rules are right now, if they don't substitute, they can snap the ball anytime they want to. So tempo's in your favor, but – they, for some reason, they kept substituting personnel groups. So when they sub, we got to be allowed to sub too.
Yeah.
And we are smart when we do that. We tell those big old boys running out there, you don't need to run a 50-yard dash out there. Take your time. That referee's got to let you get set. So, he's really the umpire. Hey, get on out there, but you don't have to break your neck and dive in there. So, have you ever noticed it looks like everybody, get in there, but you got to realize we're going at a slow pace just because.
Russ Tanner calls that the fat boy shuffle.
That's good. I like it. That's good. I wonder if Russ won Saturday.
We need to find out. Dax was involved in that too.
Right. Two of the great coaches.
That's right.
Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry. So both one of them had on a fedora. So
yeah.
Here's the deal, though. Getting personnel groups and shuffling them around is the key to stopping the spread compared to 5 years ago. It used to be one of the things that drove everybody crazy. Let's just say you're an offensive team that really has a lot of different looks and you scout them and when they're doing this, this is what they do. When they're doing this, this is what they do. So you basically defend the formation with your calls, okay? But you can't do that if they're going fast and you don't have time to do it. You got to have a check and line up and get to it. But now when people substitute like that, they're helping the defense, and it's fair to the defense. The team shouldn't get penalized because they can't get lined up.
Yeah.
So defenses are a lot better getting lined up, and even the teams that don't go fast some just to teach their defense how to do it.
Coach Donnan here in the studio with us as the Dogs beat up on Auburn 27-10. So now we're finding out a little bit more about DeAndre Swift, that he had some, his groin issue was a little bit more. He had some surgery back in the spring and recovering. He was, cleared to go for the season, but we can clearly see what a difference he is now than what he was when the season started.
With all the David, you go over there on Monday, and with all the people out here that cover Georgia, it's unbelievable the amount of – what would you say on a Monday over there? How many people would you say are over there for a press conference?
Oh, it's probably, about 25, 30, 40 people.
Well,
That's just a regular Monday. You would think
if a guy like DeAndre Swift had sports hernia surgery or groin surgery or whatever he had, that somebody
would know.
But it never came out. And I knew it. It wasn't a big deal for me. Of course, I'm not involved in breaking any news, but I think from our standpoint, we just didn't announce it. But he went through, very sporadically during the spring. It happened before the spring. Mm-hmm. So spring practice, and then he fought through that. And then in the fall, though, I think he hurt his ankle a little bit. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of difference in the way that he's running right now and the way he was running the first of the year now. When he puts his foot on the ground, you know, and makes a plant, you better be ready because you're going to grab some air. I mean, that guy is amazing. That guy can make a jump, and his cutback lanes are good. But the thing that's overwhelming for me that's going to help him in the pros is he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Right.
I'll just relate to last year, the first play against Florida when we had a third down situation. We had Sony and Nick, who both are just eating it up in the pros. And who did we go to? We threw the ball to Swift in the flat.
Yep.
Because he's such a great receiver out there. And certainly Elijah can catch a ball, and so can Cook, and so can Harrion. But we got a good situation there at running back. And for the fans out there, I talked to Coach McGee last week, and I was asking him how Zamir White's doing on his rehab, and he said he's really, really doing well and looking forward to getting back out there and getting it going in spring practice. He'll be limited, but as far as what they'll let him do, but he can go full speed in a lot of drills.
Coach Donnan here in the studio with us.
Coach, you know, it's so funny when you look at the way that a season goes and the ebbs and flows, and with Georgia getting DeAndre Swift back, I think a lot of people – just because of that LSU performance where, you know, Swift still wasn't nearly back to being where he is right now. And so you get these preconceived notions about a team. Do you think that it's not going to affect Alabama, but maybe, you know, in terms of the national perception that Georgia throughout maybe the whole season has been a little undervalued just because everybody's been so dismissive of everyone's chances to beat Alabama?
That's true. Plus, you know, really our biggest exposure game was against LSU, and any way you look at it, you can't put lipstick on a pig there. I mean, we it didn't work out. That was for Strapper to see if he was listening. But that game, we made a lot of mistakes getting lined up, and we couldn't get any really rhythm on offense. But I think the thing that's overwhelming, though, is 3 weeks ago, everybody only back we were talking about is Holyfield. And he's had a tremendous year, but, well, that's a great 1-2 punch. I mean, you got Hammer and Tong in there. Those two guys can just go, man, just bash you. And the good thing about both those guys, and I'm not getting, you know, giving too much love to our team because we still got a long way to go, but I like the way our team competes and practice, goes against each other all the time, you know, a lot of different drills. You know, you got to get your team ready with the other team's plays. That's one thing. You know, I mean, you're going to run the scout team and all that, but there's certain drills you can do, like team pass or things like that, and go against each other and really get better at your protection and your coverage and throwing against good people. So our team's developed some depth, and we've also had some guys really make some significant improvement. You look at the way that the Stokes has improved at corner, the way that Webb has moved in there from being a receiver to being a really good defensive back. That guy can tackle in space, and our depth in the secondary is going to really pay off down the stretch here. And one of the things that I thought was brilliant tactically for the game the other night between Coach Tucker and Coach Smart, and part of that's having gone against Gus for so many years, is we played dime against these guys. And for the fans out there, a dime defense is where you play a lot less regular people. You substitute an extra defensive back. Nickel, you've got one defensive back. Dime, you've got two. And we played dime almost exclusively, you know, against them, even on regular downs when there's a chance that they could run the ball. And Webb and Stokes came in there and played significant. Stokes came in for Campbell, who had a couple bad plays, but he's had a good year. But for the fans out there that know football, our ability to play dime against these guys and play it effectively was huge in that game. And that goes back to coaching. I mean, hey, you going to come out here in these funky formations? We ain't going to line up in our regular stuff, man. We're going to play dime on you.
Hey, and I mean, you just looking at the numbers, it just blows me away, too. And you know how I am, Sam, about running the football. Georgia ran for 303 yards, Auburn for 102.
They so balance is
50%
stupid.
Three times, that's right. I'll tell Coach Leach that. Three times as many rushing yards as they
have.
Yeah,
usually the team that can run the ball and stop the run are going to win. But, you know, again, some of those running stats are skewed with the lost yardage plays. For.
But these weren't really. They didn't have much. Right. We didn't have a sack. So they didn't lose any out of the sack.
But we were able to hurry him some. I liked the way. I liked
there was some pressure for sure.
I like those plays where the guy's running toward the sideline and trying to figure out if he's going to throw it out of bounds or try to throw it to a guy. I mean, the percentage of you stopping him is pretty good on that, you know, unless they just have an unbelievable catch. But we had him on the run, that's for sure.
What's your take on Stidham for the next level?
I think Stidham's going to be a good pro quarterback. I mean, he had a running back last year, and Darion Johnson took a lot of pressure on. Without him at quarterback last year, they don't get to the – they don't beat Alabama and Georgia. You look at the game he had against us, but without a running game, he's not as nearly as effective, particularly in the offense that he's playing. If he was playing in our offense where, you know, they're not running all those – option plays and that stuff, and he would be very effective because he's a lot like Jake Fromm, you know, probably a little taller, but, you know, very accurate passer, and he's going to get drafted, and he's got a good – he'll play in the pros, I think.
You know, I saw his stats. He was 25 out of 37 on Saturday. He probably threw several away. So,
and
like you said, the accuracy.
I mean, Davis catch.
Davis caught
like even dozen.
Yeah, he caught 13, but only 72 yards.
Hey, real quick story about the even dozen, which I got to tell you, I'll never get a chance to play. You know, Bill Peterson used to be at Florida State before I was there, and he would coach with Parcells, and one of the things that he would do, he would get things mixed up, you know. He would, like Norm Crosby, he'd say, you know, instead his name's Bill Peterson, I'm Bill Peterman, and don't you remember it? And then but anyhow, they were playing against South Carolina, and they had this kid named Warren Gasay that was catching the ball in the flat. I'm talking about they were throwing that little flat pass to him, And Peterson was all over Parcells about what was going on. So finally he called another one. He says, how many's that they hit on us, Bill? And he said, I think that's 12. No, it's 13, Coach. He said, why don't you let them hit one more for an even dozen?
That's fantastic.
Coach, really quickly before we hit the break, you made kind of a comparison there with the seasons that Stidham has had last year and this year, and the big thing is Kerryon Johnson. Do you expect Fromm to kind of blow it up here at the end of the season now he's got both of his backs healthy?
Yeah, I think particularly the next 2 weeks, you know, we got to score some points on Tech. I mean, they're rolling right now. I mean, anybody that thinks that we're just going to line up and stop that team, I don't care if you got the old Dallas Cowboy defense with all those guys. I mean, they're very effective. They know their system, and, you know, all they got to do is get 3 yards every play, and they go for it on fourth down. So we'll scout them up next week and all that, but they're really playing at a heavy level. I look for them to beat Virginia and, you know, come in here with a four-game winning streak. So, I mean, they were left for dead going up there to Virginia Tech. And how about Virginia Tech?
Ooh.
Has given up over 50 to three different people this year. And, you know, Bud Foster, one of the best defensive coaches ever. I mean, you look at his record, and having a humbling situation here right now. I mean, lack of players is one thing, but, I mean, they gave up 49 to Old Dominion. They gave up over 50 to a couple weeks ago. And then, you know, Pitt
ran through them like butter.
Yeah, 99 yards run.
Good grief.
I think. The reality is that Fromm can have, you know, particularly Terry being healthy too, and Miko getting healthy. I think, and I thought last week I was wondering where Ridley was. We didn't really even go to him, and you know, we got a lot of weapons. I mean, you look at we got some guys that can do some things. So
on a game by game basis, there's going to be some games where those guys just don't.
Right.
Have
it's
the
hard,
stats.
Hard to spread it out.
I know. It's tough.
But I think he can, as you mentioned, I think the thing about Fromm that he's really in his elements off the play action pass. I mean, he gets rid of the ball quick. He knows where to go with it. He doesn't take sacks. He knows where to aim the ball. And, you know, we had the one interception to Stanley. Stanley could have helped him a little bit by coming back for it a little
right.
bit. But that play right there is a little bit indicative of Fromm's lack of just Tommy Gunn arm strength. But, you know, he just anticipates so well that he usually – doesn't get, but most of his picks, if you look at the season, have come on passes over the middle. And same way against Notre Dame last year.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Coach Donnan here in the studio with us.
Tell you what, got Peggy Sue.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you'd know why I feel blue without Peggy.
My Peggy Sue. Well, I love you, gal, and I love you, Peggy Sue.
8:36 here on the morning show.
Nice.
We are presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System.
Pretty, pretty, pretty.
I love it.
Sam Franco, David Johnston, and of course, Coach Donnan here with you. 706-549-6000. You can email 960theref at coxradio.com.
Sam coming out with some of those oldies, man. I didn't know you. I know you really know the music, but Buddy Holly, he was strong.
He's doing a great job. You know what? He's like, he's getting that on his own. I'm not really helping him on that.
He's pretty versatile. Pretty versatile.
Very much so. That was a sad, you know, so Buddy Holly, Big Bopper, Richie Valens, all on that same plane.
Up in Iowa someplace.
Yeah, yeah.
Richie Valens sang that song, but Oh Donna. It wasn't Donnan, but it was Donna.
Oh, Donna.
And yep. The Big Bopper.
The Big Bopper. That was get some music out of just what was on that plane crash.
Sad day, man.
Yeah, for sure.
But I wanted to talk to Coach, too, about Alabama in a sense that, look, obviously we're not going to sit here and break down UMass's team. It's not really what – you know, our listeners, I'm sure, want to really hear. And there, and fans, you know, you're looking ahead to Tech. You're looking ahead to Alabama. And with Alabama, one thing about this team, you know, you've got a slightly, you know, injured Tua Tagovailoa. We don't know exactly what his, you know, status, I guess, is going to be overall. But, you know, I think that Georgia, like I said earlier, with a more healthy DeAndre Swift, they may come into this game a tad bit undervalued.
Oh, for sure, and I think the bad thing about Tua being hurt is Alabama's realizing what they can do running the ball. Those mm-hmm. backs they got are a lot like ours. I mean, you look at both the Harris guys and then, you know, those guys can really run the rock, and their defense keeps throwing these shutouts. This is the first time in a long time Alabama's had two straight shutouts, so I think – that's game we'll break down later on. But for us, we can't underestimate. I mean, I know everybody says coach speak and everything, but UMass has an outstanding offensive coach in Coach Mark Whipple. He has a Miami background. He coached in his pros with the Steelers. I mean, he was offensive coordinator with the Steelers and Coach Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, he knows what he's doing throwing the ball. They just undermanned defensively, and they've had given up a lot of points for sure. But they got that Isabella kid who's one of the fastest receivers in the country, leading the country in yards per catch, I think. And he'll be a – you know, they'll hit some plays on us, no question about it. But as you mentioned, that game is looming down the stretch there with Bama over there in a couple weeks. And, you know, Bama's got the Citadel coming in there, and Citadel runs a lot like what Tech does. You know, they're averaging over 300 yards a game rushing, so I'm sure they're going to try to just go in there and keep the ball away from Alabama and run that triple option too. And, you know, a few years ago, Georgia Southern went in there and gave Nick and them a little trouble. But I wouldn't be surprised if they keep Tua out this week, though. I mean, you know, just a lingering deal there about that meniscus on his knee.
Coach, what do you think of schools like UMass that had success on the FCS level and then try to make the step up, and it's just a you know, swimming upstream kind of thing? What do you think of a school like UMass and where they should play their football?
Well, you just got to be who you are and understand what your capabilities are, and I think they're in a tough market there where they're fighting for, you know, the entertainment dollar.
Yeah.
When you've got Boston College as a as another school that you got to go against there right in your area. And then you got all, you know, the Red Sox and the Patriots and the Celtics and the Flyer, you know, the Boston Bruins. So I think it's just a case of every team, when you make that move. I know Charlotte went 1A pretty quickly because they could get in a conference. In UMass's situation, they're still independent.
That's the key.
They're having a hard time getting games. I mean, you got to play BYU home and home, and that shows you what the problem BYU has when they dropped out of their league. They had trouble getting games. That's why they're going to Massachusetts and playing a game this late in the year. So, but I'm sure they're getting big money to play us. I don't know what the payout is, but it's got to be big to come down here and play us at this point of the year.
I'll look that up because I am kind of curious, but it's got to be seven figures.
Yeah,
so.
I would think so.
Yeah, and this is their last game of the year, so this is kind of like their bowl game. They're traveling for the final game of the season.
They played Tennessee last year and almost beat them.
Yeah, but it's fun. You know, they were. You talk about Coach Whipple's a good coach. They had success on the 1AA level, but it's just, you know, moving up. It's just,
you know, I fought it at Marshall. I wanted to. One of the things they told me when they hired me, hey, we want to go 1A, but I kept saying, look, we're selling out our stadium. We're doing everything we can to be competitive on our level, but it's a big changeover, and not only for your football team, but all of a sudden for your other sports. Can you imagine what the money they got to generate to have full funding for those other sports? I mean, you just can't just go from 63 to 85 scholarships in football. You got to do the same thing in these other sports too. And all of a sudden you got more volleyball scholarships, you got more, you know, whatever sports they got. You know, to be 1A, you got to have, I think, 12 or 13 sports. So it's a funding situation too, but I'm sure that Elizabeth Warren has helped them out up there, though. She's given them some money through the Senate from I just had to throw that out there.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Where's Coach going with this?
Oh. Yeah.
No, I mean, she's a senator there, and I'm sure she supports them.
Just one re-election, and we'll stop the political talk with that.
Did you Google the contract?
No.
Oh, I thought you were looking. I thought you were doing
I
that.
I
no, it's all right. I had a question
for you because you can figure out anything. So, what does Mr. Pelosi look like?
That's a good question.
I see her all the time. I like to know what he does.
His name is Paul.
Paul.
And he's a businessman who operates a financial leasing service.
All right, Paul. I like you, Paul. Mr. Pelosi. I wonder who runs that household.
Yeah. We'll get back on track.
That had nothing to do with any political leanings. I was just wondering who her husband was.
We'll just bring it back.
We know who Hillary's husband is, but
Coach Donnan here in the studio with us, David Johnston and Sam Franco. By the way, you know, Saban said he was going to play Tua this weekend, which is interesting.
Well, you never know, but
I don't know how. Is he hurt?
You know, he got some shots the other day. I thought. Starting out the game, I thought for sure that they were going to torch Mississippi State because Mississippi State wasn't pressing the receivers, and, you know, and Jerry Jeudy getting his free release off the line. But pretty smart by them. They just said, hey, you got to throw the ball in front of us. We're not going to give you anything deep. And then they started bringing those guys off the edge, and they did a pretty good job with it. So, you know, you win 24-0, everybody's saying what's wrong and all. But realistically, they played – last quarter and a half without Tua. And I tell you the thing that just chapped me, and I'm sure the kid was probably cold and everything, but I hate to see a quarterback with one of those muffs out there. And it's okay to keep your hands in there, you know, in the huddle and all, but once you get up to the line of scrimmage, don't keep your hands in there until it snapped the ball. I mean, it looked like, my hands are so cold, please don't snap it to me. And that kid was and he was just handing the ball off, I'm sure, but it wasn't that cold over there, was it?
I don't remember it being – I mean, it was cool. It was coolish cold, but I don't think it was freezing temperatures
when
or anything.
He finally did throw a pass, they knocked his muff off. They knocked it off of him, and I was afraid it might have discombobulated and he couldn't have put it back on.
Well, Mike Gundy does believe in snowflakes, so
yes,
maybe,
he does.
Yeah,
Hey, how about the bedlam, man? I'm telling you, we'll talk about when you go around it. But I was,
Coach, I was sweating that one.
You know, that was preliminary toward it before our game, and I was all jacked up before our game even started.
What'd you think of the go for two for Mike Gundy? Because we saw the week before how it worked out for Will Grier and West Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do that when you know one of the things you do on Saturday morning. You talk to your team, your coaches. You have a meeting about situations, and you make that decision right then based on you can't make an emotional decision right at the game. Say, look, if it's close at the end. I mean, this team leads the nation in offense. You know, our defense isn't very good. If we got one play to win the game, we're going to win it, or we're going to go for it. And you know what it is. I thought the play they ran, they probably could have run a better play, but that was a good call. I mean, hey, you're 5-5 team now, and you're playing a team that's in the national picture, and it's a big rivalry game. I'd go for 2-2. I mean, you got a better chance of doing that than going into overtime and winning.
Also seems like now with the Big 12 – everyone's talking about, oh, Oklahoma and West Virginia could play 2 weeks in a row, but don't tell that to Texas and Iowa State because they're still in there.
Iowa State's still in there, and Texas is in there. You know, I remember a couple years ago Jacksonville State was playing against Auburn early in the year, one of the first games, and they had a situation there where, hey, if you'd have told me I had a chance to win this game with one play, they had the ball on the 40-yard line, fourth down and two, and they punted. And then Auburn comes back and scores and wins the game. Go for it, man. You Jacksonville State, and they're a good team. Go for it.
I remember that because that was Georgia was at Vandy that day. And we were walking around Nashville, and there was this tailgate set up that had the game on. And there was like 40 people standing around the TV watching the end of that game.
They were hoping Auburn was going to lose. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who was Auburn playing? They went to overtime. Was that in 2011?
Utah State. That was when Georgia lost against Boise in the Georgia
game. Right, yeah.
I'm going to tell you one thing now. This Bud Light thing, people got to jump on Utah State. I mean, what are they, 9-1 now or 10-1?
Yeah, they're having a terrific
something
season. Of course, they got to play at Boise. Boise plays all these games at home.
The spread, though, I mean, they hit it every week.
Yeah.
And then they just killed Bobo and them last – Novato killed them last week. But I'm going to tell you that Utah State's got a good quarterback. I mean, they got – and they got a good coach at Matt Wells. I mean, watch out. Somebody's going to scoop him up. He's a good coach.
They had that Chucky Keaton a few years ago.
Chucky was good.
Chucky had the knee problems, though, unfortunately.
Chucky had his knee hurt. And Utah State right now probably – I don't know if they're better than Utah or not, but they're definitely better than BYU.
Their only loss was to
Michigan State. They really should have won. They should have won.
Yeah.
They had them early.
And they're
Michigan
blowing
State.
Out.
How about Michigan State's offense? I watched them last week against Ohio State.
That game was horrible. I mean, Ohio State pulled away at the
end. Did you notice how bad the field looked in that
game?
It
was bad.
It looked like somebody needed somebody to come up there and do some kind of repossess the field. I mean, it was – just a bunch of clods.
You perform an exorcism on it
right
there.
I mean, it had no – I would think most of those teams up there go to turf, though.
Yeah, especially when it started getting nasty later on in the year. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Coach Donnan here in the studio with us. I can tell an old milk cow. I can tell the way she's lonely if you my milk cow. You a big Elvis fan, Coach?
Hey, I love Elvis.
How can you not, you know?
Exactly.
It's probably my favorite Elvis track. Yeah. I like the older school stuff, you know?
Really? I remember 1957, I was going to Nashville, Tennessee to go to the National Biddy Basketball Tournament. And that's the first time I ever heard Elvis. And we were stopped at this bus station to eat. And they had Elvis in there on the playing on some kind of music deal there. It was pretty good.
There were a lot of people, when they heard Elvis for the first time, it blew their minds. Just absolutely scorched earth.
You know, when he says, the stage is bare, and I'm standing there with emptiness all around. And if you won't come back to me, then you can bring the curtain down.
I love it. It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. David Johnston, Sam Franco, along with Coach Donnan. We still got another hour to go. We'll go around the country in the second hour. It's not a great week.
Right, there's some, you know, average games.
Yeah.
I was going to ask Sam, did you ever play on the 8-foot goals when they had tournaments?
Of course.
That was a real thrill for us, you know, 8-foot goals. But let's go back to this week, though. I mean, we got to make sure we take care of business against UMass. I mean, it always worried me when you're prohibitive favorite, you know, everybody's talking about, hey, when are we going to put so-and-so in and all this, and let's protect these guys. But it never fails. Things come up that just drive you nuts during the game. That you just got to make sure that you don't go out there and look sloppy with, because all of a sudden you got a first team punt team, and then you're trying to protect those guys, and then you take them out and somebody else goes in and he misses assignment and they block a punt, or you got a guy on a kickoff that tries to be a hero and he jumps into the pile and gets a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And then people say, hey, they're undisciplined and all that. It's just these guys haven't played, you know, and you know how you're going to get these backup guys in the game. But you not only got to get them on offense and defense, but special teams too, because it'd be terrible for a first-team player to get hurt on special teams in the third quarter.
You know, it's like when you get home from work and your pet, your dog or whatever, they're all excited to see you because they've been sitting around all day. They've been waiting to see you. And so these players, they've been a lot of times sitting around. They're ready to go.
Right.
They're ready. They're, you know, and they might do something a little extracurricular that's not good, but it's just because of the excitement of being in there.
Lack of experience of playing in games. But I think we'll have a good crowd. I mean, you know, hey, you come to see Georgia play. I mean, we only played one time in the last month, and this is just an exciting time for Georgia football. I mean, you know, when you look the way we've dominated the East, and it's just really, really fired up about what the future holds. Because I said this before the season here on our show, if you're going to get some of Georgia, you probably need to get it this year, because after this year, you can play the school song, man. I mean, we got it coming on hard. I mean, we got a lot of good young players.
All right, the Dogs getting set to take on UMass on Saturday at 4 o'clock, and then Georgia closes out the regular season next Saturday, hosting Tech at noon, and then it's on to Atlanta for that SEC championship game against big bad Alabama. All right, one more hour to go with the coach.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.